The Journal of George Fox, 1685, 1690 Final Years in London and Death, page 3, 123, for some time after the yearly meeting I went to my son Meade's, in Essex, and stayed at his home for a number of weeks, often visiting friends meeting near, and sometimes at Barking. After I had been there a while, I went to visit friends at Waltham Abbey, Hoddesdon, Enfield, South Street, Ford Green, and Winchmore Hill, where I had several very serviceable meetings, the Lord opening many deep and weighty things through me, for the informing the understandings of inquirers, and building up those that were gathered into the truth, and establishing them in it. In the seventh month, I returned to London, having been almost 3 months in the country for my health's sake, which was very much impaired. I was hardly able to stay in a meeting the whole time, and often after a meeting was happy to lie down upon a bed. Yet my weakness of body did not take me from the service of the Lord, but I continued to labor in and out of the meetings in the work of the Lord, as he gave me opportunity and ability. I had not been in London long when a great weight came upon me, and a sight the Lord gave me of the great agitations, troubles, revolution, and change which occurred soon after. In the sense of these troubles and in the leadings of the Spirit of the Lord, I wrote a general epistle to friends to forewarn them of the approaching storm, that they might all retire to the Lord in whom safety is, as follows: My dear friends and brethren everywhere, who have received the Lord Jesus Christ, and to whom he has given the power to become his sons and daughters. In him you have life and peace, and in his everlasting kingdom, that is an established kingdom which cannot be shaken. Your kingdom is over all the world and stands in his power, and in righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost, into which no unrighteousness, nor the foul unclean spirit of the devil and his instruments can enter. Dear friends and brethren, everyone in the faith of Jesus, stand in his power. He who has all power in heaven and earth given to him will rule the nations with his rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel, those who are not subject and obedient to his power. His voice will shake the heavens and the earth so that what may be shaken may be removed and what cannot be shaken may appear. Stand in him, and all things shall work together for good to those that love him. And now, dear friends and brethren, though these waves, storms, and tempests are in the world, you may all appear as the harmless and innocent lambs of Christ walking in his peaceable truth, and keeping in the word of power, wisdom, and patience. His word will keep you in the day of trials and temptations that are coming upon the whole world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. For the word of God was before the world, and all things were made by it. It is a tried word, which gave God's people in all ages wisdom, power, and patience. Therefore, make sure your dwelling and walking is in Christ Jesus, who is called the Word of God, and in his power which is over all. Set you affections on things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, mark, on those things which are above, where Christ sits, not those things that are below, which will change and pass away. Blessed be the Lord God, who by his eternal arm and power has gathered a people to himself, and has preserved his faithful to himself through many troubles, trials, and temptations. His power and seed, Christ, is over all, and in him you have life and peace with God. Therefore, in him all bow and see your salvation, who is first and last, and the Amen. God Almighty preserve and keep you all in him, your ark and sanctuary, for in him you are safe over all floods, storms, and tempests, for he was before they were, and will be when they are all gone. George Fox, London, the 17th of the 8th month, 1688. About this time, great exercise and weights came upon me, as had usually done before great revolutions and change of government, and my strength departed from me, so that I reeled and was ready to fall as I went along the streets. And at length I could not go abroad at all, I was so weak for quite a while, until I felt the power of the Lord to spring over all, and had received an assurance from him that he would preserve his faithful people to himself through all. In the time that I kept within, I wrote a paper, showing Moses as a servant was faithful in all his house in the Old Testament, and Christ as a son is over his house in the New Testament. The house of Israel was called God's vineyard in Isa 5:7, and all the Israelites were called the house of Israel. Israel signifies a prince with God and a one who is predominant with men. Gen 32:28. When Peter preached Christ to the house of Israel, he said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Acts 2:36. So they were all called the house of Israel. And it is said, Moses was faithful in all his house, to wit, this house of Israel, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house, which house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. HBR 3:5-6. Here it is shown that Moses was faithful in all his house, as a servant, that is, in the house of Israel in the Old Testament. But Christ Jesus, the Son of God, is over his house in his New Testament and covenant, and all his true believers are of his house. The apostle tells the Ephesians, who were a church of Christ, they were fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. F2:19. And the saints were called the household of faith, Gal 7:10. Peter, in his general epistle, tells the church of Christ they were a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. 1 Pet 2:9. And that as lively stones, they were built up, a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 5. The apostle said to the church of Christ at Corinth, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Cor 5:1. And Christ said to his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. A mansion is a dwelling or abiding place. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. John 14:1-3. The psalmist said, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Psalm 92:13-14. Again, holiness becomes your house, zero Lord, forever. Psalm 93:5. Isaiah also said by way of prophecy, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Isa 2:2. Is not that a great house? Is not this mountain Christ, who is over his house in the New Testament and New Covenant? To this mountain and house all the children of the New Testament or New Covenant flow in these latter days, so that it is come to pass, which was prophesied of by Isaiah. For he said, many people shall go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Isa 2:3-5. Here you may see, they that come to the mountain of the house of God and to God's teaching must walk in the light of the Lord. Yes, the house of Jacob. Jacob signifies a supplanter. He supplanted obscene Esau, who is hated, and Jacob is loved. Now these two births must be known within, they that walk in the light of the Lord and come to Christ, the mountain of the house of the Lord, established above all mountains and hills, break their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And in Christ, this mountain and house of the Lord, there are no spears nor swords to hurt one another with. Christ, the Son of God, is over his house and great family, the children of the light that believe in the light and walk in it, the children of the day of Christ, his holy and royal priesthood, that offer up spiritual sacrifice to God by him. All such are of Christ's, the spiritual man's house, who are born of God and led by his Spirit. They are of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings' house and family, which he is over, and are of the household of the holy, divine, pure, and precious faith, which Christ is the author and finisher of. And they that be of the Son's house are pure, righteous, and holy, and can do nothing against the truth, but for it, in their words, lives, and conversations, and so are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that they should show forth the praise of him who has called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. These are Christ's lively stones that build up a spiritual house which he, Christ the spiritual man, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords, is over. George Fox, London, the 10th month, 1688. Some time after this, my body continuing to be weak, I went with my son Mead to his house in Essex, where I stayed some weeks. In which time I wrote many things relating to the service of truth, some were printed soon after. others were spread abroad in manuscript, and among other things, a few lines to this purpose. That, while men are contending for thrones here below, Christ is on his throne, and all his holy angels are about him, who is the beginning and the ending, the first and last over all. And that the Lord will make way and room for himself, and for them that were born of his Spirit, which are heavenly Jerusalem's children, to come home to their free mother. A few words also I wrote concerning the world's teachers and the emptiness of their teaching, which were as follows. Do not those called Christianity live in talking of Christ's, of the apostles' and prophets' words, and the letter of the scriptures? And do not their priests minister the letter, read the Bible, with their own conceptions of what the words mean? For money, though the holy scriptures were freely given from God, Christ, the prophets, and apostles. Yet the apostle said, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. 2 Cor 3, 6. The true ministers of the New Testament are not ministers of the letter, but of the Spirit, and they sow to the Spirit, and of the Spirit reap life eternal. But people spending time about old authors, and talking of them, and of the outward letter, does not feed their souls. For talking about food and clothing does not clothe the body, nor feed it. No more are their souls and spirits fed and clothed, except they have the bread and water of life from heaven to feed them, and the righteousness of Christ to clothe them. Talking of outward things and spiritual things, and not possessing them, may starve both their bodies and their souls. Therefore quench not the Spirit of God, which will lead you to be diligent in all things. With this I wrote another short paper, showing the hurt they did and the danger they run into who turned people from the inward manifestation of Christ in the heart. The Jews were commanded by the law of God not to remove the outward landmark. Deuteronomy 19:14. They that did so, or that caused the blind to wander, were cursed in the Old Covenant. Deuteronomy 27:17. In the New Covenant, the Apostle said, let him be cursed who preaches any gospel other than the one he preached. Gal 1:8. The gospel that he preached was the power of God leading to salvation to everyone that believes. Rom 1:16. And the gospel that was preached to Abraham was that in his seed all nations and all the families of the earth should be blessed. In order to bring men to this blessed state, God pours out of his Spirit upon all flesh. And Christ enlightens everyone that comes into the world. And the grace of God, which brings salvation, has appeared unto all men and teaches Christians, the true believers in Christ. And God does write his law in the true Christians' hearts and puts it in their minds that they may all know the Lord from the greatest to the least. And he gives his word in their hearts to obey and do, and the anointing within them. So that they need not any man to teach them, but as the anointing does teach them. Now all such as turn people from the light, spirit, grace, word, and anointing within, remove them from the heavenly landmark of their eternal inheritance, and make them blind, and cause the blind to wander from the living way to their eternal house in the heavens, and from the new and heavenly Jerusalem. So they are cursed that cause the blind to wander out of their way and remove them from their heavenly landmark. George Fox, I wrote also a paper to show, by instances taken out of the Holy Scriptures, that many of the holy men and prophets of God and of the apostles of Christ were husbandmen and tradesmen, by which people might see how the world's teachers are now so different from them. Righteous Abel was a shepherd, a keeper of sheep. Gen 4:2. Noah was a husbandman, and he was a just man and perfect in his generation and walked with God. Gen 9:26-9. Abraham, the father of the faithful, was a husbandman and had great flocks of cattle. Just Lot was a husbandman and had great flocks and herds. Gen 13:5. Isaac was a husbandman and had great flocks and herds of cattle and store of corn. Gen 26:12-14. And the promise was with Isaac, for the Lord said to Abraham, in Isaac shall your seed be called. Gen 21:12. Jacob was a husbandman and his sons, keepers of flocks of cattle. Gen 46:32-34. And God loved Jacob. Moses kept sheep. Ex 3:1. The Lord spoke to him when he was keeping sheep. Ex 3:4 and sent him to Pharaoh to bring God's people or sheep out of Egypt. By the hand and power of the Lord, he and Aaron his brother brought them out of Egypt, a land of anguish, bondage, darkness, and perplexity. And Moses kept the Lord's people, or sheep, 40 years in the wilderness. He was a meek shepherd of God, and kept his great flock of sheep, though some of them were scabbed with the leprosy of contention and murmuring, and were destroyed in the wilderness. David, though he afterwards came to be a king, was a keeper of his father's sheep in the wilderness. 1 Sam 17, 15 and 17:28. The Lord called him from the sheep pens to feed his sheep, the house of Israel, and to defend them from the spiritual wolves, bears, and lions, and he did it to the end he intended, establishing a man after God's own heart. Elisha was a plowman. 1 Kings 19:19. He was called from the plow to teach God's people, the children of Israel, to plow up the fallow ground of their hearts, that they might produce seed and fruits to God their Creator. The word of the Lord came to Amos when he was among the herdsmen of Tekoa. Amos 1:1. Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, said to Amos, "Prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court." Amos 7:13. Amos answered, "I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel." Amos 7:14-15. Here you may see the Lord made use of a poor man and called him from following the outward flock and from gathering of outward fruits to gather his fruits and to following his people or flock, the children of Israel. Christ called Peter and Andrew his brother when casting their net into the sea, for they were fishermen, and he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Matt 4:18-19. Christ likewise called James and John his brother when they were in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Matt 4:21-22. He gave them power, a net that will hold and not need mending, and made them fishers of men to fish them out of the great sea, the world of wickedness. We read that when Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and other disciples went fishing together, and that night they caught nothing, in the morning Jesus appeared and said, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall be successful." They did so, and caught so many fish that they were not able to pull into the boat. Then when one of the other disciples said to Peter, "It is the Lord," Peter, hearing that, girded his fisher's coat unto him and jumped into the sea to go to Jesus. John 21:2-7. This was after Christ had risen. So here you may see Peter had not laid aside his fisher's coat all the while that he had been preaching before Christ's death. Jesus saw Matthew sitting in the customs receiving taxes, and he said unto him, "Follow me," and he arose and followed him. Matt 9:9. And Christ employed Matthew to gather his people that were scattered from God, another manner of treasure than the outward custom of the Romans. Luke was a physician whom Christ made a spiritual physician, which was better than the outward physician. Paul was a tentmaker, and being of the same craft with Aquila and Priscilla, he lived with them at Corinth and worked for his living, for their occupation was tentmakers, Acts 18:3. George Fox Goose's, the first month, 1688, it was now a time of much gossip, and people were too much busy in their minds and spent their time in hearing and telling news. To show them the vanity of this and to draw them from it, I wrote the following lines. In the low region, in the trifling life, all news is uncertain. There is nothing stable. But in the higher region, in the kingdom of Christ, all things are stable and sure, and the news always good and certain. For Christ, who is all power in heaven and in earth given unto him, rules in the kingdoms of men. And he, who does inherit the heathen, and possess the far reaches of the earth with his divine power and light, rules all nations with his rod of iron, and dashes them to pieces like a potter's vessels, the vessels of dishonor, and the leaky vessels that will not hold his living water of life. And he preserves his elect vessels of mercy and honor. His power is certain and does not change, by which he removes the mountains and hills and shakes the heavens and the earth. Leaky, dishonorable vessels, the hills and mountains and the old heavens and the earth are all to be shaken, removed, and broken to pieces, though they do not see it happening or see him that does it. But the elect and faithful both see it and know him and his power that cannot be shaken and does not change. George Fox, the fifth of the first month, 1688-9, about the middle of the first month, 1688-9, I went to London, the Parliament then sitting, and being then about the Bill of Indulgence. Although I was weak in body and could not easily move around the city, I had such a great concern on my spirit in behalf of truth and friends that I attended continually for many days, with others, at the House of Parliament laboring with the members, that the thing might be done comprehensively and effectually. In this and other services I continued until towards the end of the second month, when being much spent with continual labor, I got out of town for a little while, as far as Southgate and thereabouts. While I was there, I wrote a letter to Peter Hendricks, a friend, at Amsterdam, in which I enclosed an epistle to friends at Danzig, Poland, who at this time were under great persecution. And I wrote to them to encourage and strengthen them in their testimony, and to comfort them in their sufferings for the truth. I also wrote a paper to their persecutors, the magistrates of Danzig, laying before them the evil of persecution, persuading them to Christian moderation, and to do unto others in matters of religion as they would be done unto. To Peter Hendricks at Amsterdam, and to friends at Danzig who are under persecution. Dear friends, PH with my love to you and your wife, J. Klaus and J. Roloffs, and all the rest of friends everywhere in Christ Jesus, who reigns over all. I am glad to hear friends are well in all those provinces and places everywhere, except Danzig, and that you were so diligent in spreading my papers to the strengthening of friends. I have lately printed the life of William Catton, but have not made a collection of his books. I think I will send some of them to you, which you may translate and print if you will. They may be serviceable among friends, especially them that knew him. Concerning friends at Danzig, whom the Lord has supported with his eternal arm and power to this day, I hope by the same arm and power he will support them, and in it they will feel his blessed presence with them in all their sufferings. Who is over the cruelty of their persecutors, who will hardly let them breathe outwardly or inwardly in the common air of their native soil, which shows their immortality, inhumanity, and unchristian behavior, and that they lack the counsel of a Gamaliel among them, whose actions are below the law of God, to do unto others as they would have others do unto them. God will not bless the doings of such. However, I desire that friends may mind the Lord's power that is over all, be valiant for his truth, and keep upon the rock and foundation Christ Jesus, that stands sure in the time of the heat of persecution which is so intense upon you, that they will not allow you your houses to work and sleep in, or to meet in, or serve God in. The Lord beholds all such pretenders and their pretension. Therefore look over all to him who is able to deal with them and reward them according to their works. God Almighty preserve you all in Christ Jesus, in whom you have rest, life, and peace. Amen. George Fox Southgate, the 28th of the 2D month, 1689, to the magistrates of Danzig. Christian Schroeder, President of the Council, Emanuel Dilger, N. Gaedkin, and N. Fraterus, Deputy of the Council, and the rest of the magistrates and priests. We have seen your order, and you're breathing out persecution against that little flock, the lambs of Christ, that live under your jurisdiction in the city of Danzig, and that you have imprisoned and banished too by the hangman out of the government of your city. And others you threaten to do the same to, with great punishment if they return. Likewise you threaten those with punishment who rent houses to the lambs, if they let them have their houses either to live in, or meet in to serve and worship the Lord that made them. Truly, I have heartfelt sorrow for both your magistrates and priests that go under the name of Christians and show such immoral, inhuman, unchristian actions. Actions that are below the royal law of God, which is to do to others as you would have them do unto you. Would you think it was moral, humane, or Christian, or according to the law of God, if the King of Poland, who is of another religion than you, should banish you out of your city by the hangman and call you murderers of souls? Could you say this was not according to the law of God, to do unto you as you would have done unto others? If you say, you have the sword, the horn, and the power, blessed be the Lord that has shortened your sword, your power, and your horn, that it reaches no further than your jurisdiction of Danzig. And you do not know how long God may tolerate you to have your horn, your power, and your sword. We are sure you do not have the mind or spirit of Christ. And the apostle said, they who do not have the spirit of Christ are none of his. Rom 8:9. And Christ told Peter, put up your sword. Those who draw the sword for him, to defend him and his worship and faith should perish with the sword. After that, which time was before the spirit was given Peter, Peter and the apostles never drew the outward sword, but said their weapons were spiritual, not carnal, and they did not wrestle with flesh and blood. Christ never gave any such command, that they should banish any by the hangman who were not of their religion or would not receive it. Are not you worse than the Turks, who let many religions be in their country? Yes, Christians, and to meet peaceably. Yes, the Turkish officials let our friends that were captives meet together at Algiers and said, it was good to do so. You are worse than those barbarous people at Sally, who do not profess Christianity, for you profess Christ in words, but in actions you deny him. Did you ever find, either in scripture or history, that any persecutors prospered long? You are worse than they are in the Mogul's country, who they say permits 60 religions in his dominions, and many others might be mentioned of which you are worse than them, all in your cruelty and persecution of God's people, only for meeting together in the name of Jesus, and serving and worshiping God, their Creator. No, they must not breathe in their natural air, either natural or spiritual, in your dominions. I pray, where did you get these commands from, either from Christ or his apostles? Do you not profess the scriptures of the New Testament to be your rule? But I pray you, what scripture have you for this practice? It is good for you to be humble, to do justice, love mercy, call home your banished, and love and cherish them. Yes, though they were your enemies, you are to obey the command of Christ and love them. I wonder how you and your wives and families can sleep quietly in your beds that do such cruel actions without worrying that the Lord may do to you the same. You cannot be without sense and feeling, except you are abandoned by God, and your consciences seared with a hot iron. But Christian charity does hope that you are not all in that state, that there still may be some relenting or some reconsideration of your actions among some of you, either according to the law of God or his gospel. From him that desires your temporal and eternal good and salvation, and not destruction, amen. George Fox Middlesex, the 28th of the 2D month, 1689 Peter, you may translate this into High Dutch and send the letter to them, and you may print it, if you wish, and send it abroad. Translate that part of the letter that is to friends into High Dutch and send it to them. Having stayed in the country about 3 weeks, I returned to London a little before the yearly meeting, which was in the third month this year. It was a very solemn, weighty meeting, the Lord, as formerly, visiting his people and honoring the assembly with his glorious presence to the great satisfaction and comfort of friends. After the business of the meeting was over, it was upon me to add a few lines to the epistle, which went from the meeting to friends, after this manner. Dear friends and brethren, who have known the Lord's eternal arm and power, that has preserved you upon the heavenly rock and foundation, and have built your house upon the heavenly rock. You have known many winds, tempests, and storms that have risen out of the sea, where the beast rose, and many raging storms that have risen by apostates of several sorts. But the seed that bruises the serpent's head and is the foundation of God's people stands sure. Dear friends and brethren, though there are great shakings in the world, the Lord's power is over all, and his kingdom cannot be shaken. Therefore, all you children of God, children of the light and heirs of his kingdom, keep in your joyful, peaceable habitation. Keep out of all the passions, contentions, and disputes about the things of the world. Lay hands on no man or anything suddenly, to avoid that they should be puffed up with a temporary spirit which fades, and so they come to loss. But mind the Lord's power that keeps open your heavenly eye to see things in the present and in the future, and in that you will see and handle the word of life. Dear friends everywhere, have power over your own spirits. As God has blessed you with his outward things, beware of putting your trust in them or falling into dispute with one another about these outward things that are below, which will all pass away. But all live in the love of God, and in that live in peace with God and one with another. Follow the works of love and overcome the evil with the good to all. For what good have all the tinklers, people who fix pots and pans and clang them to draw attention, done with their cymbals and sounding brass? They have always bred confusion and never did good in any age. Tinkling with their cymbals and sounding with their brass to draw out the simple to follow them, loud and elegant speechmakers. It is good for all the children of God to keep in their possessions of life and in the love of God that is everlasting. As for all the tumults of the world and the apostates from the truth, the Lord's power is over them all, Christ reigns, and the Lord said, "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper." Isa 54:17. Friends, you are not insensible how many weapons have been formed against us who are sons and daughters of God, and the Lord has restrained them according to his promise. They have not prospered. The Lord said, "Every tongue that shall rise up in judgment against you, you shall condemn." So God has given such a power to his children to condemn all the tongues that shall rise up in judgment against them, and this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, said the Lord. You are not insensible of the many tongues that have risen up against us in judgment, yes, of apostates and those irreverent. But in and with the truth, the power of God, according to the promise of God, every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn. It is not one tongue only you shall condemn, but every tongue that shall rise up in judgment against you, you shall condemn. The Lord gives this power to his servants and children to judge the evil tongues, and he restrains the weapons formed against them, so that they shall not prosper against his children that he has begotten. Praises and honor be to his holy name forever. Amen. George Fox. Soon after this, the yearly meeting began at York. For several years it had been held there because of the largeness of that county and for the convenience of friends in the northern parts. And because as there had been some damage done in that place by some that had run out of the unity of friends, it was upon me to write a few lines to that meeting to exhort them to keep in pure heavenly love, which brings into and keeps in the true unity. Which was as follows. Dear friends and brethren in Christ Jesus, whom the Lord by his eternal arm and power has preserved to this day, all walk in the power and spirit of God, that is over all, in love and unity, for love overcomes, builds up, and unites all the members of Christ to him the head. Love keeps out of all strife and is of God. Love or charity never fails, but keeps the mind above all outward things and strife about outward things. It overcomes evil and casts out all false fears. It is of God and unites all the hearts of his people together in the heavenly joy, harmony, and unity. The God of love preserve you all and establish you in Christ Jesus, your life and salvation, in whom you have all peace with God. So walk in him that you may be ordered in his peaceable, heavenly wisdom to the glory of God and to the comfort one of another. Amen. George Fox, London, the 27th of the 3D month, 1689, being very weary and exhausted with many large meetings and a lot of business with friends during the time of the yearly meeting, and finding my health much impaired, I went out of town with my daughter Rouse to their country house near Kingston, and stayed there most of the remaining part of the summer. During this time, I sometimes visited friends at Kingston and wrote several things for the service of truth and friends. One was an epistle to friends at Barbados, as follows, to all friends in Barbados that are convinced of God's truth. My desires are that you may live and walk in his peaceable truth and show evidence that you are children of the light and of the truth, for the heavenly, gentle, peaceable wisdom is justified of her children. But debate, strife, willfulness, laying open one another's nakedness and weakness, is not the practice of heavenly wisdom's children, but of Ham's, nor from the Spirit of Christ, neither such as bite and tear one another. That is from a devouring spirit, not the Spirit of Jesus, which covers what is not proper and can forgive. My friends, you profess that truth which is beyond all the world's ways, therefore, see that you excel them in the heavenly gentle wisdom, that is easy to be entreated. For the wisdom of the world is not easy to be pleaded with, and sometimes will not be pleaded with at all. Pray see you excel the world in wisdom, in virtue, in kindness, in love that is over hatred, in meekness, humility, sobriety, civility, and modesty, in temperance and patience, and in all morality and humanity, which will not act anything below men nor unmanly. Show forth true Christianity, and that you are the converted and translated believers in Christ, dwelling in the love of God that tolerates all things, endures all things, is not prideful, and does not envy. For they that are out of this love of God and Christian love for each other are nothing but as a tinkling cymbal and as sounding brass, and are discontented, murmurers and complainers, full of doubts, questions, and false jealousies. Keep that spirit out of the camp of God. For do not you read in the Scriptures, both of the New and Old Testament, that the end of such was misery? Therefore, in the love of God, build up one another, for love edifies the body of Christ, and he commands his believers to love enemies and to love one another. By this they are known to be the disciples of Christ. But to live in envy, strife, and hatred is a mark that they are no disciples of Christ. For he that doesn't love his brother lives in death, and whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But they that love their fellow believers have passed from death to life. 1 John 3:14-15. And if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that doesn't love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from God, that he who loves God loves his brother also. 1 John 4:20-21. Therefore, love one another, for love is of God, and hatred is of the devil, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. All are children of God by creation, Therefore, in that state, they are to love their neighbors as themselves, and to do unto all men as they would knave them do unto them. Secondly, God having poured his Spirit upon all flesh, or all men and women, and all that are led by the Spirit of God, are the sons of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, and are in fellowship in the everlasting gospel, and in unity in the Spirit, the bond of peace. They that go out of this unity, out of the bond of peace, and do not keep it, break the King of Kings' peace. But they that keep in the unity and fellowship in the Spirit, and walk in the light, have fellowship one with another, and with the Father and the Son. It is not everyone that talks of the light of the world, of righteousness, of Christ, and of God, but he that does the will of God. Therefore, my friends, strive to excel one another in love, in virtue, in good life and conversation, and strive all to be of one mind, heart, and judgment in the Spirit of God. For in Christ all are one, and are in peace with him. The Lord God Almighty preserve you in him, your rock and foundation, that is heavenly and stands sure, that you may be valiant for the truth upon earth, for the Lord and his glorious name, that you may all serve him in your generation, and in his new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. And now that you have come into so much favor with the magistrates and powers, that they let you serve as a constable, etc., without swearing or taking any oaths, hear Christ's doctrine and command, and his apostles is observed and lived. I therefore desire that you may double your diligence in your offices, in doing what is just, true, and righteous, so that you may excel and exceed all that are tied or bound by oaths to perform their offices, and you can do it upon your yes and no. So say and so do, according to Christ's doctrine and command. For Adam and Eve, by disobeying the command of God, fell under condemnation, and they that disobey the command of Christ, in taking oaths and swearing, go into evil and fall into condemnation. Matt 5:34 and James 5:12. My love in the Lord is to you all. George Fox Kingston upon Thames, the 10th of the 5th month, 1688. I stayed at Kingston until the beginning of the 7th month, where not only friends came to visit me, but some considerable people of the world, with whom I had discussions about the things of God. Then leaving Kingston, I went to London by water, visiting friends as I went, and stopping at the Hammersmith meeting on my way. Having recovered some strength by being in the country, when I came to London I went from meeting to meeting, laboring diligently in the work of the Lord, and opening the divine mysteries of the heavenly things, as God and his Spirit opened them to me. But I found my body would not long bear the city. Therefore, when I had traveled among friends there about a month, I went to Tottenham High Cross, and from there to Edward Mann's country house near Winchmore Hill, and to Enfield, spending 3 weeks among friends in the area, having meetings at all those places. Then, being a little refreshed in the country, I returned to London, where I stayed while laboring in the work of the ministry until the middle of the 9th month. At which time, I went with my son Mead to his house in Essex, and lived there all the winter. During this time, I didn't get out much unless it was to go to the meeting that my family attended, which was about half a mile from there, but I often had meetings in the house with the family and those friends that came there. I also wrote many things while I was there, some of which follow. One was an epistle to the quarterly and yearly meetings of friends in Pennsylvania, New England, Virginia, Maryland, the Jerseys, Carolina, and other plantations in America, which was as follows. My dear friends and brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ, who by believing in his light are become children of his light and of his day. My desires are that you may all walk in the light and in the day, and keep the feast of Christ, our Passover, who is sacrificed for us, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. But let all that be purged out, that you may be a new lump, keeping the feast of Christ, our Passover, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let no leavened bread be found in your houses, nor in your meetings, nor in the camp of God, or household of faith, which are the household of Christ. But all that sour, old leaven, which makes people's hearts sour and burn one against another, must be purged out of the camp of God and kept out. For the feast of Christ, our Passover, must be kept in the new covenant with his heavenly unleavened bread of life. The Jews' feast in the Old Testament was kept with outward unleavened bread. And now in the New Testament, in the Gospel day, our feast is to be kept with the heavenly unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Therefore, friends, I desire you seriously to consider, and to keep this feast which the apostle directed the Church of Christ to keep. Do not you see Christianity, so-called, keep their feasts with the leavened bread of malice and wickedness, which malice makes them so sour, and their hearts to burn one against another, that they have destroyed, and do destroy one another about religion. Therefore all live in the love of God, which keeps above the love of the world, so that none of your hearts may be choked or gorged and sickened with these outward things, or with the cares of the world which will pass away. But mind the world and the life that is without end, that you may be heirs of it. And friends, you should strive to excel all, both professor and irreverent, in morality, humanity and Christianity, modesty, sobriety and moderation, and in a good, godly, righteous life and conversation, showing forth the fruits of the Spirit of God, and that you are the children of the living God, children of light and of day, and not of the night. And serve God in newness of life, for it is the life, and a living and walking in the truth, that must answer the witness of God in all people, that they, seeing our good works, may glorify our Father which is in heaven. Therefore be valiant for God's holy pure truth, and spread it abroad among both professors and irreverent and the Indians. And you should write over once a year, from all your yearly meetings to the yearly meeting here, concerning your diligence in the truth, and of its spreading, and of people's receiving it, both professors and profane and the Indians, and concerning the peace of the Church of Christ among yourselves. For blessed be the Lord, truth does get ground in these parts, many are made very loving to friends, and the Lord's power and seed is over all, in which God Almighty keep all his people to his glory. Amen. George Fox Gooses, the 28th of the 11th month, 1689, while I was in the city I had a concern upon my spirit with respect to a twofold danger that attended some who professed truth. One was of young people's running into the fashions of the world, and the other was of old people's going into the earth. And that concern coming now again weightily upon me, I was moved to give forth the following as a reproof to such, and an exhortation and warning to all friends to beware of and keep out of those snares. To all that profess the truth of God, my desires are that you walk humbly in it. For when the Lord first called me forth, he let me see that young people grew up together in vanity and the fashions of the world, and old people went downwards into the earth, raking it together. And to both of these I was to be a stranger. And now, friends, I do see too many young people that profess the truth grow up into the fashions of the world, and too many parents indulge them, and among the elder some are declining downwards and raking after the earth. Therefore, take heed that you are not making your graves while you are alive outwardly, and loading yourselves with thick clay. Hab 2:6. For if you have not power over the earthly spirit, and that leads into a vain mind, and the fashions of the world, and into the earth, though you have often had the rain fall upon your fields, you will only bring forth thistles, briars, and thorns, which are for the fire. Such will become brittle, peevish, fretful spirits that will not abide the heavenly doctrine, the admonitions, exhortations, and reproofs of the Holy Ghost or heavenly Spirit of God, which would bring you to be conformable to the death of Christ and to his image, that you might have fellowship with him in his resurrection. Therefore, it is good for all to bow to the name of Jesus, their Savior, that all may confess him to the glory of God the Father. For I have had a concern upon me, in a sense of the danger of young people's going into the fashions of the world, and old people's going into the earth, and many going into a loose and false liberty, until at last they go quite out into the spirit of the world as some have done. The house of such has been built upon the sand on the seashore, not upon Christ the rock, that are so soon in the world again, under a pretense of liberty of conscience. But it is not a pure conscience, nor in the spirit of God, nor in Christ Jesus. For in the liberty and the spirit there is the unity, which is the bond of peace, and all are one in Christ Jesus, in whom is the true liberty, and this is not of the world, for he is not of the world. Therefore all are to stand fast in him, as they have received him. For in him there is peace, who is the Prince of Peace, but in the world there is trouble. For the spirit of the world is a troublesome spirit, but the spirit of Christ is a peaceable spirit, in which God Almighty preserves all the faithful. Amen. George Fox Gooses, the 1st of the 2nd month, 1690, I wrote another letter while I was here concerning the ensign which Isaiah prophesied the Lord should set up for the Gentiles, which I showed was Christ. Of which follows a copy, the Lord said, They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Issa 11:9. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Issa 11:10. And he shall reign over the Gentiles, and in him shall the Gentiles trust. Rom 15:12. This ensign is Christ, who was prophesied of by the prophet, which prophecy the apostle, who was a minister to the Gentiles, shows was fulfilled in the New Testament. In this day of Christ, Isaiah said, "The Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt, etc. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." Issa 11:12. This is in the day of Christ, and his gospel of life and salvation, which is preached to every creature under heaven, who enlightens every man and woman in the world, both Jews and Gentiles, that by his heavenly divine light they may see Christ, their ensign and captain of their salvation. So Christ is one ensign both to the Jews and Gentiles. Isaiah said, "The Redeemer shall come to Zion." Issa 59:20. "And this is my covenant with them, said the Lord, my spirit that is upon you, Christ, and my words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, said the Lord, from this point on and forever." Issa 59:21. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen on you." Issa 60:1, "And the Gentiles shall come to your light." Verse 3, "And the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you." Verse 5, "The sea is the world. The Lord shall be your everlasting light." Verse 20, "And you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise." Verse 18, "And the Lord said, I will make the place of my feet glorious." Verse 13, "Heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool." Chapter 66:1, "And he that puts his trust in me, said the Lord, shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain." Chapter 57:13, "Which mountain is established above all the mountains and hills." Issa 2:2, "The Lord said, speaking of Christ, I have put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Issa 42:1, "I will give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of prison. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." Verses 6-8. So Christ the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen, and the Gentiles are come to the light of Christ. This prophecy of Isaiah concerning Christ, many of the Gentiles witness fulfilled, that salvation is come to the Gentiles. Rom 11:11. God gave his glory to his Son, and Christ said, "The glory which you gave me, I have given them, namely, his believers and followers, that they may be one, even as we are one." John 17:22. Here you may see the promises and prophecies are fulfilled in Christ Jesus, whom God has given for an ensign both to the Jews and Gentiles, and as the captain of their salvation. And he does enlighten all men and women in the world, that with his heavenly divine light they might see Christ, the Lord from heaven, their captain and ensign, and trust in him, their conqueror, who bruises the serpent's head and destroys the devil and his works. And Christ and his followers overcome the dragon, beast, and false prophet. Therefore all Jews, Gentiles, and Christians that come to believe in Christ are to stand to their ensign, Christ, who is also the captain of their salvation, above all ensigns and captains below, for he is from above. Therefore all are to trust in him, for he is certain and able to save to the utmost. He is the same ensign and captain today as he was yesterday, and so forever, the first and last, the beginning and ending, the Lord of lords and King of all kings upon the earth. And there is nothing certain to be trusted in below Christ Jesus, who is from above. You see in the scriptures, there were many ways and religions among the heathen, as there were many sects among the Jews when Christ came. And now there are many sects or religions among the Christians who believe from the scriptures that he has come, as the Jews believed he was to come. But they that close their eyes and stop their ears to the light of Christ are not like to see Christ who has enlightened them, to be their ensign and the captain of their salvation, that see not with the heavenly eye, nor hear with the heavenly ear, to see and hear their heavenly ensign and captain of their salvation, to convert and heal them. That they might follow him and be of his holy camp, his heavenly soldiers, to whom he gives spiritual arms and armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the armor of light, and the shield of faith, which will quench all the fiery darts of Satan and give victory, and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, which shall cut, hammer down, and burn up all the strongholds of Satan. Also he clothes his soldiers with fine linen, white and clean, his righteousness, and shoes them with the everlasting gospel of peace, the power of God, which clothes and shoes will never wax old. And all that are shod with the everlasting gospel, the power of God, will never wax old, wear out, but will stand all storms and tempests in the world. They that are shod with the gospel, the power of God, can in it tread upon serpents, vipers, and scorpions, and all the venomous beasts upon the earth, and all the thorns, briars, brambles, thistles, sharp rocks, and mountains, and never be hurt, nor ever wear out their shoes. For their feet were always beautiful upon the mountains. Moses, a captain, the servant of the Lord, said unto the people of Israel, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out upon you, and your shoe is not worn out upon your foot. Deuteronomy 29:5. Here you may see, the Jews in the Old Testament, their clothes and their shoes did not grow old and wear out. And they who are Christ's followers, whom he shoes with his everlasting gospel of peace, and clothes with his fine linen, his righteousness, and arms with his armor, are clothed, shod, and armed with what will never decay, wax old, canker, rust, corrupt, nor grow blunt. Now all, whether Christians or Jews or Gentiles, who hate the light of Christ, close their eyes and stop their ears to it, are not like to see Christ their ensign and captain of their salvation, but are blind. As no outward captain would enlist a company of blind and deaf men, and clothe and arm them with outward armor, so such as are blind and deaf, whose eyes are closed, and ears stopped to the heavenly light of Christ, he is not like to clothe with his fine linen, and arm with his heavenly and spiritual armor. Nor are they likely to be spiritually and heavenly disciplined, and to see and know his holy spiritual living camp, not to follow him while they are deaf and blind, and hate his light, which is the life in Christ. For it is the light that shines in the heart, which gives the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus, who is the ensign and captain of men's salvations, and who has brought, and does bring many sons unto glory. Praise, honor, and glory be unto the Lord over all, who lives forever. Amen. George Fox Gooses, the 14th of the 2D month, 1690, a week after this I returned to London. And after a little stay there, I went to visit friends at Kingston, where I did not stay long. I came back to London and remained in the Lord's work until after the yearly meeting, which was in the fourth month that year. The accustomed goodness of the Lord was witnessed in the meeting, his blessed presence was enjoyed, and his heavenly power lovingly felt. His power opened the hearts of his people to him, and his divine treasures of life and wisdom in and to them, by which many useful and necessary things, relating to the safety of friends, and to the honor and prosperity of truth, were weightily treated and unanimously concluded. After the meeting, I wrote the following paper to friends, to be added to the epistle, which from the yearly meeting wall sent into the several counties. All friends everywhere who are alive to God through Jesus Christ and are living members of Christ the Holy Head, be still and stand still in the Lord's camp of holiness and righteousness, and in it see the salvation of God and your eternal life, rest, and peace. In it you may feel and see the Lord's power is over all, and how the Lord is at work in his power, ruling the nations with his rod of iron and breaking. In the nations, the old leaky vessels and cisterns to pieces, like the potter's vessels, that will not hold his living water of life, who are erred from the Spirit. But blessed be the Lord God of heaven and earth, who by his eternal arm and power has settled all his people upon the living, holy rock and foundation that stands sure, whom he has drawn by his Spirit to his Son, and gathered into the name of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, who is all power in heaven and earth given to him, whose name is above every name under the whole heaven, and all his living members know, there is no salvation given by any other name under the whole heaven, but by the name of Jesus. And he, their salvation and their living head, is felt in the midst of them in his light, life, spirit, grace, and truth, and his word of patience, wisdom, and power. Who is his people's prophet that God has raised up in his New Testament and covenant to open to them? And their living shepherd that has purchased, redeemed, and bought them with his precious blood. Christ, the living one, feeds his living sheep in his living pastures of life, and his living sheep know their living shepherd's voice, with his living bread and water, and follow him, and will not follow any of the world's hirelings, nor thieves, nor robbers, nor climbers that are outside Christ, the door. Likewise, Christ's living children know Christ, the bishop of their souls, to oversee them with his heavenly and spiritual eye, that they may be preserved in his fold of life and go no more forth. Also, they know Christ their holy priest, that by the grace of God tasted death for them, and for every man, and is a propitiation for their sins, and not for theirs only, but for the sins of the whole world. And by the one offering up of himself, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Such a high priest becomes Christ's sheep in his new covenant and testament, who is holy, harmless, and separate from sinners, and is made higher than the heavens. Who is not made a priest after the order of Aaron with his tithes and offerings, but he makes an end of all those things, having abolished them, and is made a high priest after the power of an endless life, who ever lives to make intercession for his people, and is able to save completely all that come to God through him. He is the one holy mediator between God and man, who sanctifies his people, his church that he is head of, and presents them to God without spot, or wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing, and makes them a holy royal priesthood to offer up spiritual holy sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, who is King of all kings and Lord of all lords in the earth. So a holy heavenly King who has all power in heaven and earth given to him, and rules in all the hearts of his sheep and lambs by his holy, divine, precious faith that is held in all the pure consciences of his people, which holy faith, Christ, the Holy One, is the author and finisher of. By this holy faith all the just live, in which holy, divine, precious faith all the just and holy ones have unity, and by it quench all the fiery darts of Satan, and have access to the pure God, in which they please him. Christ, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in the heavens, in his New Testament and New Covenant, is the minister of the sanctuary and true tabernacle, which the Lord has pitched, and not man. Therefore, all the lambs and sheep of Christ must feel this holy minister in their temple and sanctuary, who ministers spiritual, holy, and heavenly things to them in their sanctuary and tabernacle. For all the tabernacles and sanctuaries that are built or pitched by man, men make ministers for them. And such ministers are of men and by men, with their worldly sanctuaries and tabernacles of men's pitching, by men's hands. And now, dear friends and brethren everywhere that are of the flock of Christ, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us all keep this heavenly feast of our Passover in his New Testament and covenant, not with old leaven, neither of malice nor wickedness, but let all that be purged out with the sour old leavened bread, that all may become a new lump. And so keep this heavenly feast of Christ, our heavenly Passover, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen. George Fox I stayed in town between 3 weeks and a month after the yearly meeting, and then went to Tottenham High Cross, where was a meeting on first day, which I attended. And then I went to Edward Mann's at Ford Green near Winchmore Hill, and the first day following to the meeting at Enfield, where the Lord gave me many precious openings to declare to the people. Afterwards, moving back and forth among friends in the area, I frequently visited the meetings at Cheshunt, Waltham Abbey, Enfield, Tottenham, and Winchmore Hill. The Lord was with me and opened many deep and weighty truths, divine and heavenly mysteries to his people through me, to their great refreshment and my joy. After some time, I went to Hertford to visit friends there, and was at their meeting on a first day. And having something more particular upon me to the ancient friends of that place, I had a meeting with some of them the next day, and imparted to them what the Lord had given me for them. Then passing to Ware, I made a little stay among friends there, and was at their meeting. After which, I returned among friends about Edmonton side and Tottenham, and attended meetings as I went back to London in the end of the 7th month. I remained at London until the beginning of the 9th month, being continually exercised in the work of the Lord, either in public meetings, opening the way of truth to people, and building up and establishing friends in it, or in other services relating to the Church of God. For the Parliament was now in session, and having a bill before them concerning oaths and another concerning clandestine marriages, several friends did attend the House to get those bills so worded that they might not be hurtful to friends. In this service, I also assisted, attending on the Parliament and discussing the matter with several of the members. Having stayed more than a month in London and exhausted myself in these services, I went to Tottenham, and some time after to Ford Green. at which places I continued several weeks, visiting friends' meetings round about at Tottenham, Enfield, and Winchmore Hill. In this time, several things came upon me to write, one of which was an epistle to friends in the ministry, as follows. All friends in the ministry everywhere, to whom God has given a gift of the ministry, and who used to travel up and down in the gift of the ministry, do not hide your talent, nor put your light under a bushel, nor load yourselves, nor entangle yourselves with the affairs of this world. For the natural soldiers are not to load themselves with the affairs of world, much less the soldiers of Christ, who are not of this world, but are to mind the riches and glory of the world that is everlasting. Therefore stir up the gift of God in you, improve it, and do not sit down, demaz-like, and embrace this present world that will have an end, for fear you become idolaters. Be valiant for God's truth upon the earth, and spread it abroad in the daylight of Christ, you who have sought the kingdom of God and the righteousness of that, and have received it and preached it, which stands in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. As able ministers of the Spirit sow to the Spirit, that of the Spirit you may reap life everlasting. Go on in the Spirit, plowing with it in the purifying hope, and thrashing, with the power and Spirit of God, the wheat out of the chaff of corruption, in the same hope. For he that looks back from the spiritual plow into the world is not fit for the spiritual and everlasting kingdom of God, and is not like to press into it, as the faithful do. Therefore, you that are awakened to righteousness, and to the knowledge of the truth, keep yourselves awakened in it. Then the enemy cannot sow his tares in your field, for truth and righteousness are over him, and before he was. My desires are that all may fulfill their ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ has committed to them, and then by the blood or life and testimony of Jesus you will overcome the enemy that opposes it, within and without. All you that preach the truth, do it as it is in Jesus, in love, and all that are believers in Jesus and receivers of him, he gives them the power and authority to become the sons of God and joint heirs with Christ, whom he calls brothers. And he gives them the water of life, which shall be a well in them, springing up to eternal life, that they may water the spiritual plants of the living God. So that all may be spiritual planters and spiritual waterers, and may see with the spiritual eye the everlasting, eternal God over all to give the increase, who is the infinite fountain. My desires are that you may be kept out of all the worthless elements of the world, which is below the spiritual region to Christ the head, and may hold him, who bruises the head of enmity, and was before enmity was, that you may all be united together in love, in your head, Christ, and be ordered by his heavenly, gentle, peaceable wisdom to the glory of God. For all that are in Christ are in love, peace, and unity. In him they are strong and in a full persuasion, and in him who is the first and last, they are in a heavenly resolution and confidence for God's everlasting honor and glory. Amen. From him, who is translated into the kingdom of his dear Son with all his saints, a heavenly salutation. And salute one another with a holy kiss of love that never fails. George Fox Ford Green, the 25th of the 9th month, 1690 back next.